After centuries of being a predominantly private family affair, the care and education of very young children is increasingly becoming an out-of-home activity in which governments and private enterprise are involved. UNICEF has published the Innocenti Report Card, a survey as to whether or not the world's richest countries have established a minimum standard for early childhood education and care. Of the 25 wealthiest countries surveyed, Canada tied for last place, failing to meet 9 out of the 10 benchmarks. Canada failed to provide enough adequate spaces, failed to reach out to disadvantaged children, failed to provide universal essential child health services, and had too many children living in poverty. We failed even to have a national plan. We're joined today by Linnell Anderson. She's a senior researcher from Human Early Learning Partnerships, a research network in BC, located at UBC. Hello, Linnell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, you're not only a researcher in this area, but you've also experienced it as a parent, I understand.
Absolutely, thanks. Yes, and it was about 20 years ago when my first son was born, and I was very lucky to be able to have a quality childcare experience. And I volunteered on the board and became very involved as both first a parent and then a volunteer and now a researcher. So it really has led me to understand why childcare is so important and to advocate for a good system for children and families.
Well, let's start there. Why is it so important?
It's really key. It's really key for healthy children, and it's really key for healthy families. The reality is that about 3/4 of mums with young children are in the workforce. I think the definite sense is they're there to stay, and we need to support them in that role. We need to support them as they try to care for children by having good parental leave and good work-life balance. And we need to support them as they earn a living, as families earn livings, through good quality childcare.
What happens if you don't have an adequate childcare system? I mean, what do those children miss?
Right. Well, our research at the Human Early Learning Partnership, our research across the province has shown that almost 30% of kids, young children, are entering school vulnerable in one or more developmental ways, social, physical, emotional. And the vulnerability that we're tracking is really a recognition of some of the challenges in their early experiences in the home and in the community. And so we need to support families in their role and in order to have healthy children and in order to have parents that are not stressed, that are not missing time at work due to stress, and that really have adequate incomes. As you've mentioned, our child and family poverty rates are really high in Canada. And part of that is because we're not supporting families to earn.
So what are some of the obstacles that are getting in the way of having a national childcare plan?
Right. Well, I think my sense from my work over the last 20 years is that really there are two fundamental obstacles. One is around our ambivalence about the role of government. You know, the countries that you mentioned, it's not just Sweden and Norway and Denmark who put on good programs for kids and families. The UK, even as you mentioned the US, although it's got a long ways to go, those governments are doing more for children and families. And it really is about a government role. And here in Canada, as in some other Anglo-Saxon countries, we are ambivalent about the role of government. We are, some of us do not agree that government should play an active role in developing new publicly funded systems. Some of us think we should leave that to the private market. The challenge with that, of course, is that over the last 30 years, the private market has not met kids and families' needs. It hasn't worked. But that's one ambivalence. And the other is the ambivalence about the role of women. Although I've mentioned that 3/4 of mums are in the workforce, we haven't as a society reached out to support mums in that new role like other countries have. And so there's still that struggle that mums feel to greater or lesser degrees, and there's still some sense in our society that kids would be better if mums just stayed home. And so we have that ambivalence that really, I think, is affecting our ability to move forward here.
Are you speaking about that ambivalence from your own personal experience when your children were young?
I had some of that, it's true, but because I had such a wonderful childcare experience, I got over it very quickly. I felt that the childcare experience I had, those were my community, and it was about a village raising our children together and supporting that. So it would really help me get over it. But if I hadn't had good quality care, I'm sure that ambivalence would have really stayed with me.
Well, that's interesting, because what you're saying is if you have the good quality care, then parents' concerns about what childcare is doing to their children then basically evaporate.
That's my experience, and certainly experience with others that I know, absolutely. But the challenge is that, you know, in most of Canada, very few of us have access to quality childcare, so we haven't had that experience to draw on. Outside of Quebec, you know, less than 15% of Canadian families, kids, have access to licensed childcare. So there isn't enough to look to and had to have had that experience to draw on.
If we suddenly got quality childcare, then do you think that there would be more public pressure to increase it?
I think that's the experience. It was certainly the experience in Quebec. You know, as they started to build the system, they couldn't keep up with the demand as families saw what was happening.
So they put some things in place and then the
pressure to increase it really grew. And the greatest challenge Quebec has faced in the last several years is to grow the system. You know, it's the challenge of success. It's to grow the system quickly enough to accommodate family needs. And when we build good systems, we do see that families use them. Listeners may not know, but kindergarten in BC and most of Canada is actually voluntary. It's not mandatory as education is. The rest, you know, grade one and up. So kindergarten is voluntary, and yet over 90% of BC kids are enrolled in kindergarten. Why is that? Because we see it as really good for our kids. And so I think that if we build a good system, it not only will help children and families, but we will see it as the good system that it is.
What do you make of the Conservatives' plan?
Well, the Conservatives' plan is not one that builds the system, right? So the Conservative plan is one that it primarily relies on giving $100 to each family with children under six for each child, $100 a month, and then letting families use that money as they see fit. The position is that some families could choose to buy childcare services with that money. But the challenge with that approach, there's many challenges, but one that the UNICEF report card and other international report cards really pick up is that it does not ensure that the system and the services are in place. Let me give a quick analogy. When we think of our college and university, our post-secondary education system, of course, people pay fees to go to school. And we can have a discussion about the level of those fees and whether it's affordable or not and all of those issues. But that's the equivalent of the $100 a month, providing families with some money to support their access to the service. But at the same time as we have the discussion about fees, we still build colleges and universities and we staff them with trained professors. And that's the key that's missing here. And the UNICEF report card makes that so clear. We don't have access to services. We don't have trained staff in place. And we don't have a national plan to make that happen.
What is the cost to families in BC of childcare?
Well, families pay a range depending on where they are. We're here in Vancouver, and that's, of course, the highest cost in the province. For the younger the children, when you have small groups of children, then that's what you want to have. So the cost of licensed care can be well over $1,000 a month for very young children. For 3 to 5, perhaps $700 a month. So it's higher than the cost of college or university for many families. And a recent study in both Victoria and Vancouver, a living wage study, has acknowledged what other studies have shown across the country, that in fact childcare is the second highest cost to families after living costs, after facility.
That's a completely hidden piece of information until you become a parent.
Yes, that's right.
Because you see these exhortations to save for your child going through university, but you don't see exhortations to save for childcare before you get pregnant.
Yes. Well, and that's part of the point, that even though we've had, you know, a growth, incredible growth in women's labor force participation, our societal structures have not kept up with that. And so, you know, for many years we've been thinking about saving for higher education, but we have not yet thought about those early years and how important it is to both save for those, but actually to support those.
And the other interesting aspect of this discussion is it's all still about women's participation. It's all still, I guess, in terms of the discussion that we're having, seen as something that women have to sort out.
I'm really glad you brought that up because it gives me a chance to talk about the work that we're doing to really promote the fact that what we need to do is help families in general balance their caring role, how they care for each other, and how they earn to support each other. And in cases where we're talking about two-parent families, that means moving away from the old model of, you know, dad out working, mom at home, and talking about a real shared responsibility for both caring and earning in a really equal way. And, you know, part of the critique of Canada by UNICEF around our parental leave, which compared to the US and Australia is quite generous, you know, but part of the critique is that we don't yet have time in our parental leave that's really reserved for dads, and some of the European countries have moved in that direction. So I really want to stress that our work and our research and our analysis supports the fact that we need to support families to have time to care, to have good and adequate and more parental leave, as well as supporting them to earn to support their families.
Now, we've been promised and promised and promised a national child care system. We don't have one. Mm-hmm. What's it going to take to get from those promises? And we're not even getting the promises anymore, but let's say we get a promise again. What's it going to take to move that promise into the reality of a national child care system?
Well, that's a really good question. I am hopeful that that we have, a coming together of both the research, the evidence, and the lived experience in our country, and that those things are growing to a recognition that we need to catch up with the reality of where families are at today. And so I think, more and more we're seeing in the business community, across sectors, we're seeing an understanding that we need to help children and families thrive more, and that by building a system of supports, we'll be able to do that. So I think it's still coming, but it's a long time, I guess, like any other movement. And that doesn't give patience or help to those families who are on wait lists right now, two-year-long wait lists in Vancouver, for example. But I do think that in the future, the evidence will speak for itself and we'll move forward.
Thank you so much for coming in. It's been great to talk to you.
Thanks a lot.
I've been speaking with Lynelle Anderson. She's a senior researcher at the Human Early Learning Partnership, and that's located at UBC. You can visit their website. It's earlylearning.ubc.ca to learn more about seminars and events and to read some of their publications.